is Histories and Mysteries Uncovered. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Jessica. And on this week's episode, it's just me.
Just Jess.
Just me. I am going to be going over, surprise, surprise, O.J. Simpson, which is kind of funny because I was struggling as to what I wanted to research this week. And then he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, huh, I was not, well, I was a year old when this happened, but I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, me neither.
So I figured, what better time to talk about it than right now?
Yeah, I don't know much about this case either. I remember the famous glove debacle, and I remember people mentioning race, but that's all I really remember about this.
Yes. So. And the Kardashians.
Oh, yes, yes. Their dad was his lawyer. I do know that. Yeah.
Was it the dad? I thought, who the heck is Bruce?
That's their stepdad. That's the two youngest
Kylie
actual dad. Yeah.
Kylie and what's her face?
Yes. But okay. But the original trio, their dad is Rob Kardashian.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go out and say it right now. I think he did it or had like a very heavy involvement.
Okay.
I'm just making my opinion known right off the bat.
I think most people think that, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. So we shall see what happens.
Yeah. But I'm excited to hear all the evidence and stuff. Cause like I said, I don't know any of the evidence.
Yeah. And there was a lot. It was obviously a very lengthy trial. So there was a lot of stuff that I couldn't include, but I tried my best to kind of condense it into our episode and the most important stuff.
Yeah.
So I used Daily Mail, Fox59.com, History.com, AP News, Vox.com, Britannica, and I used Somewhere Else.
Welcome to the dark side.
I use Wikipedia, guys.
It lays things out really well, and then you can use their sources as your sources. Like, you can go to that spot and see it. And
honestly, I was having a really hard time finding details about the trial that weren't just kind of glossing over everything.
Mm.
And also details about the murders themselves.
Okay.
Rather than the articles just mentioning, oh, these two people were murdered, and then just kind of moves on.
Moving on. Okay.
But yeah, so it was a really good source for that kind of stuff. It actually had those things. And I feel like it's because there were so many articles that came out about his death.
Yeah.
That the other stuff just kind of got shoved under.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, and he's done so much since then, too. He's gotten in more legal trouble. He's been back in prison and all this kind of stuff. So there's been a lot since that.
Yeah, because he's not great.
Nope, he's not.
So Orenthal James, or O.J. Simpson, was born in San Francisco on July 9th, 1947, and he originally gained notoriety while playing football for USC. Despite a childhood injury, he overcame it to become the Southern California school's explosive rushing back. In 1968, he received the Heisman Memorial Trophy, which is given to the best player in the nation, marking the pinnacle of his collegiate career.
Ooh, so he was very good. And I've heard he was really good at football.
He was really, really good at football. He defeated the next highest vote getter by 1,750 points, making his victory one of the biggest blowouts in Heisman voting history.
Oh, wow.
Which is insane.
That's crazy.
The Buffalo Bills selected Simpson with the first overall pick in the 1969 NFL draft.
Oh, wow. He was first pick?
Yeah.
Wow.
He spent 9 years as a player for the New York team, winning MVP in 1973 during his finest year. In addition to winning the title for best offensive football player, he ran for 2,003 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Mm.
I know nothing about football, but I think that's good.
I know the touchdowns is really good. When it comes to yards, I don't really know what's a good yard statistic for football.
I literally know nothing about football.
I really enjoy football. I know a bit, but not like statistics wise.
Yeah. Just he was very, 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 very good.
Yes.
He received 4 votes in the top 5 NFL MVP polls and 5 votes in the top 5 for best offensive player in 5 different seasons.
Oh, wow.
Playing 2 seasons for the San Francisco 49ers, he concluded his career. In his career, he ran for 11,236 yards, scored 76 touchdowns, won 4 NFL running titles, and was a member of 5 Pro Bowls.
Hmm.
Whatever that is.
So a Pro Bowl is when they take like the best players and invite them to like a fun game, I guess.
Oh, okay.
But I always think it's funny that there's someone sitting there tracking and counting up all the yards of every play. Like now, obviously they use computers, but back then, like someone just wrote it down and people added up all these yards of his whole career.
That is really funny. I didn't even think about that.
I just think that's really funny. Maybe they had some kind of, well, when did computers first come out? I don't even know, but that just makes me laugh.
Later in 1985, he was admitted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
This excerpt's really funny. Known by his nickname, The Juice, which to me, I thought it was because he was like juicing. You know, the roids.
Oh, no, it's because his name's OJ, like orange juice.
Yep.
<don't>... Ding dong.
I was talking to Kyle about it last night. He's like, it's literally because I was sitting there looking at him and I all of a sudden just like came across me and I'm like, was he called Juice because it's OJ? He's like, yeah. What did you think it was?
You're so pretty.
I know nothing. I know nothing. Simpson was among the top athletes of the late 1960s and early 1970s in terms of popularity. Marguerite Whitley, his first wife, was his spouse during his NFL career. Together, the two gave birth to 3 children, a son, and 2 daughters. Tragically, in 1979, Erin, their second daughter, passed away 1 month before her second birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful. Did they say how she passed away?
She was found unresponsive by their pool.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Although paramedics were able to recover her, she passed away 8 days later after being put on life support at the hospital.
Oh, my gosh.
So awful. That same year, Simpson and Whitley's marriage disintegrated, as you would expect.
That would be really, that's one of those tragedies that's either going to pull you really close together or separate you completely.
I feel like with the type of death it was, that there was a lot of finger pointing.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Right? Like, you should have been watching her. No, you should have been watching her. Why wasn't this done? Why wasn't that done? So I feel like in that kind of scenario, a lot of stuff just came up.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's awful. I can't even imagine.
No.
Ugh.
Just before his football career came to an end, Simpson was considering his next move, which would put him in front of cameras once more.
Mm-hmm.
The adored star set his sights on Hollywood, where opportunities were beginning to present themselves after he participated in several popular commercials for Hertz Rent-A-Car. For an additional 10 years, he continued to serve as the company's spokesperson. He also starred in several TV shows and movies.
Huh.
Yeah. Some of which were shot during the NFL offseason. So I think he was mostly like comedic as opposed to dramatic.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. But kind of, I thought it was kind of cool. It's like, oh, I didn't think he was that talented.
And who knows? Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was just like the guest star to like pull in ratings, you know?
I'm pretty sure he was like a regular in these shows.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Okay, I don't think it was just like a one-off. I think that he actually had a show.
Oh.
And then he was in some movies as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Following his illustrious career, O.J. Simpson's life made a drastic and abrupt change for the worse.
Mm.
So this is kind of where things get very graphic.
Okay.
Domestic abuse.
Mm.
Depictions of, well, not depictions, but murder.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So.
Okay.
June 12th, 1994. Nicole Brown Simpson, 35, and Ronald Goldman, 25, were tragically found brutally murdered outside of Brown's home.
So I'm sorry, real quick, what year was it that him and his first wife divorced or their marriage disintegrated?
I believe it was 1979.
Okay, and when was Nicole murdered?
1994.
Oh, okay. Okay, so there was quite a bit of time between that.
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is my skeptical sister.
I'm Megan, the skeptical one.
My arm and left hip sort of pass through it.
It's called a shadow.
Girl, shut your mouth.
And I'm Erin, the believer.
Still to this day, we have no clue what we saw. Any ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Already you have an idea?
What are your ideas? Let's go with you first.
That it was a demon monster?
Like, how does your mind go demon monster?
Did you not hear glowing red eyes that slowly crept closer to their bed?
We might not agree on the paranormal, but we both love to hear your scary stories.
Yikes.
Ooh.
That is really creepy.
Yeah.
Our podcast is called My Skeptical Sister, and we'd love for you to check us out on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Also, follow us on TikTok and Instagram.
Come for the scares, but stay for the laughs.
Five days later, Simpson, then 46, was taken into custody and charged for the two murders. When Simpson was still married to his first wife and Brown was an 18-year-old nightclub waitress, they first crossed paths.
Oh.
Brown was stunning and blonde. He was older than she was by over 12 years.
Oh, wow. That's a big age gap.
Big age gap.
Especially when she's 18.
Yeah.
That's huge because he would be, what, 30? Yep, that's 12 years.
Yep.
30 with an 8. That's like your age. Can you imagine dating an 18-year-old, Jessica?
Gross, no.
Right?
That's disgusting.
What?
In my defense, I don't date younger people anyways, but I always went older.
I did too until Cody. He's younger than me, but I always dated older as well.
That's so funny.
I know.
After getting married in 1985, so Brown and Simpson, the couple had two kids.
Well, I mean, that's a good long time that he waited. He was 6 years after his first marriage. It's not like they got together like right after.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they were dating, but I don't know.
She was in her 20s, so that's better.
Yeah, yeah.
Brown contacted the police multiple times during her husband's violent outbursts during their turbulent marriage. Following a single call in 1989, Brown was discovered by the police hiding in the bushes outside the Simpson residence.
Oh.
She was seriously bruised and only partially clothed. She yelled to the police as they arrived, "He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me."
Do we know, did he abuse his first wife at all?
I'm not sure.
I wonder, because it seems weird, and I know it happens, but it seems weird that, like, he wouldn't abuse his first wife at all and then be this violent towards his second wife.
I'm not too sure, honestly. Yeah. And I don't know if, I honestly don't know. They didn't focus too much on his first wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wonder, too, if maybe, you know, losing his child just changed him in a way, you know, that's less patience, less, you know, more quick to anger, that kind of stuff. Not obviously trying to talk away anything that he did by any means, like, that's awful. No. But I'm just wondering if.
And honestly, along those same lines, it just kind of popped into my head right now. He was a football player. How do we know he didn't have a TBI?
Oh, yeah. They're finding out all that stuff now. I did a whole thing on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? I literally just thought of that, like, not mm-hmm. to obviously give excuse to the situation. Right. But
yeah.
Along the same lines of, if this was so random, mm-hmm. because he was married to his first wife during his NFL career.
Mm-hmm.
So if it kind of
happened during that, maybe not. Yeah, that's a really good point. And back then they didn't really know about it.
Yeah.
As much. And the only way they can find out is to do an autopsy on your brain. So
yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. That's an interesting thought, Jess.
Thanks. So Simpson was eventually arrested following this 1989 incident. He pled no contest to spousal abuse and was sentenced to 120 hours of community service and 2 years probation.
I would hope that nowadays he would get more, because back then they didn't take domestic violence as seriously as we do now. But I also have no faith in anything. So maybe not.
Yeah. Awful. Just awful. Following the sentencing, though, the Simpsons united issued a joint statement declaring, "Our marriage is as strong as the day we were married, if not stronger."
She was forced to make that for sure.
Absolutely. That is a PR stunt. Mm-hmm.
That's the publicist saying, you got to do this.
Yeah. Brown stated that she was conflicted about reporting to authorities about the abuse since she was financially reliant on Simpson.
Mm.
Brown reported an occasion in which Simpson injured her arm during a fight. And to keep him from being arrested, she told hospital staff that she had fallen off of her bike.
Ugh. I feel so bad for women in that situation. And if any of our listeners are in that situation, start squirreling away money so that if you are financially dependent on them, you have money to leave when you need to.
Yes. That is a great idea.
Mm.
She detailed how he beat her in public, during sex, and in front of family and friends.
Oh my gosh.
8 of the 62 instances of abuse were reported to the police, and Simpson was only arrested that one time in 1989.
It's because he was famous.
And it makes sense. Remember in our Tonya Harding episode?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Galooly, whatever mm-hmm. his face, got off after, like, mm-hmm. he had a trunk full of guns
mm-hmm.
and she had been shot.
Yeah, they didn't, and in some places still don't take domestic violence seriously enough.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Despite their 1992 divorce, the couple had a turbulent, intermittent relationship until her passing. After their divorce, Simpson allegedly stalked and harassed Brown, according to Brown. This intimidation technique is used to coerce the victim into going back to the abuser.
Mm-hmm.
She recorded an instance where he spied on her while she was having sex with her new partner.
Oh my gosh.
Subsequently, Brown stated that she believed Simpson was out to get her and would kill her if he ever caught her with another man. And she stated that he had threatened her with this.
Oh my gosh.
And she also wrote a will because of all of this that was happening.
And the scariest thing is, even now, if someone's stalking you, other than a restraining order, you can't do shit about it. It's awful. Those laws need to be updated and fixed somehow. I don't know how. I'm not a lawmaker, but there needs to be better protection for people who are being stalked.
Absolutely.
They can't.
It's so scary.
Yeah. They basically cannot do anything until you're dead. And then how's that helping you?
Yeah. And what is a restraining order going to do?
Exactly. They go through those all the time. And if you have a restraining order against them, you have to tell them your address.
Oh, I hate that.
So, because they have to know where they're not allowed to be.
Yeah.
So a lot of women won't, and men that are stalked won't file a restraining order because they don't want the person to know where they live if they don't already know.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. Isn't that horrible?
Yeah. Oh, man. On June 8th, 1994, 4 days before her murder, Brown called a women's shelter because she was rejecting Simpson's requests to fix their marriage, and she was terrified about what he was going to do to her and was thinking of staying in a shelter because she didn't feel safe in her own home.
Oh, poor thing.
A few weeks prior, she had also reported that a set of keys went missing from her home. And later, when Simpson was taken into custody for the murders of Brown and Goldman, the keys were discovered on him.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. And then she was probably gaslit into thinking that she could just misplace them.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Simpson took the lead in what turned out to be the most well-known police pursuit in the history of the country on the evening of Friday, June 17th, 1994. Simpson fled in a white Ford Bronco.
Oh, I remember that too.
Yep, driven by his friend and former colleague Al Cowlings after failing to turn himself into the authorities as arranged. He had on him $8,750 in cash.
Wow. Wow.
A weird amount.
That's a lot.
A disguise.
Oh.
And his passport.
Oh. Okay. Well, that makes sense. But he had so much cash on him then.
But like, dude, you guilty. $95 million Americans watched live as television helicopters hovered overhead, filming a low-speed pursuit through Los Angeles that lasted 90 minutes.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
And it's so weird because I thought that it was a high-speed chase.
Was it not?
It was a low-speed. He was literally just, like, driving around and they were just, like, kind of following behind him, like, keeping a distance.
Just like moseying at like 45 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
I thought that it was like this big thing because I've heard so much about this police pursuit. And
yeah, I remember it. I remember it being on the news, like, or at least I don't know if I remember it like happening in live time, but at least seeing, you know, clips of it. And I always thought it was high speed too.
No.
Okay.
It was reported that this was the first police pursuit to be dramatically televised nationwide.
Ah, okay. That's why it was so, yeah.
Yeah. It caused the widespread interest in Simpson's case to continue. Famously, NBC aired footage of the chase in addition to their coverage of the NBA Finals Game 5. So random.
That is weird.
Simpson led authorities across 60 miles of city streets and freeways before being apprehended in his driveway.
So just like an hour of just like moseying around.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. What a wacko.
Oh, gosh.
Friends and supporters of Simpson were worried that the former football player was close to taking his own life at all times. Yeah. In a letter to friends and relatives, Simpson had declared his innocence and made the final request to leave my children in peace before he ran away from his arrest.
Okay.
One good thing. He said, I've had wonderful friends and a great life. Please remember the real OJ and not this lost person. Simpson's friend and lawyer, Robert Shapiro, expressed his concern that the celebrity was suicidal. After that, Simpson employed a costly group of well-known lawyers known as the Dream Team, who went on to win his acquittal in the well-publicized murder trial. A number of the lawyers whose names became well-known in popular culture, both during and after the trial, were Robert Kardashian, mm-hmm. Alan Dershowitz, Robert Shapiro, Johnny Cochran,
mm-hmm.
and F. Lee Bailey.
Okay. Yep. I've heard of all of those. Had you said their names to me, I don't know that I would have been able to be like, yeah, they're lawyers and they were on the O.J. Simpson case, but I've heard those names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The brutal killings became a global media sensation after the protracted Los Angeles trial was famously broadcast in its entirety for nearly a year.
No wonder it was so huge, you know, like obviously everybody's watching it. Everybody has opinions on it.
And everybody feels like they have a vested interest in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been part of your life for a year.
Yeah. So this is where I'm going to kind of start outlining the day it happened.
Okay.
The events that took place and then going into the evidence and trial and everything.
Okay.
So it gets very graphic.
All right. Gotcha.
Brown and Simpson went to Paul Revere Middle School's dance recital for their daughter, Sydney, on June 12th, 1994. Simpson was not invited to join Brown and her family when they went to eat at Mezzaluna restaurant afterwards.
Oh.
Ron Goldman.
Oh, well, yeah, because they were divorced at the time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Ron Goldman, who was a server at the restaurant, was not seated at the Brown family's table, despite the fact that he and Brown had become close friends in recent weeks. So Ron Goldman is the one that was found dead with her.
Oh, okay. Is he gay?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought I remembered he was like her friend who he thought she was with him, but it turned out he was gay. Maybe. I don't know. Continue.
Could be. I didn't think it was important. So in my head, they were just friends.
Okay.
So Brown went to Ben and Jerry's with her children and then came back to her Brentwood condominium on Bundy Drive. Mezzaluna's manager recalled that at 9:37 p.m., Brown's mother called the restaurant to inquire about a misplaced pair of glasses. When Goldman finished his shift at 9:50 p.m., the manager found the glasses and placed them in a white envelope, which he carried with him.
Hmm.
He planned to drop the glasses off at Brown's residence. Neighbors indicated that they had heard barking from the family dog around 10:15 p.m., and around midnight, neighbors finally went and kind of like brought the dog back to their house. They had seen blood on the dog's leg, the family Akita.
Mm.
And that's when they found the bodies of Brown and Goldman. Mm. When the victims were discovered, Brown's condominium's front door was ajar, but there were no indications that anyone had broken in or otherwise entered the premises. Brown's body lay at the foot of the stairs that led to the door, face down and barefoot. The soles of Brown's feet were clean, but the walkway leading to the stairs was coated in blood. Investigators deduced that Brown was the intended victim and the first person killed based on this evidence. Investigators concluded that although she had been stabbed several times in the head and neck.
Oh my God.
That she had only suffered minor defensive wounds on her hands.
In her head?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know why, but for some reason that makes it so much worse.
No, that gave me the heebs and the jeebs. Did not enjoy that.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm so sorry, but it gets worse.
That person's trying to destroy their identity. They're trying to destroy their face, who they are.
Yeah.
Wipe them clean from the earth. Like, that's so personal and so twisted.
And it gets a lot worse.
Great.
Her carotid artery was severed when the last wound was made. Cutting deep into her neck. Investigators were informed by a significant bruise in the middle of her upper back and a matching footprint on her clothes that the attacker had returned to Brown's body after killing Goldman.
And stepped on her?
He had then stepped on her back, pulled her head back by her hair, and slashed her throat. Brown's head was barely attached to her body, and a gaping cut in her neck revealed her larynx.
Was she dead at this point when he came back and stepped on her?
I'm assuming she had been stabbed in the head and neck and her carotid had been slashed. Yeah. I assume she was dead at this point.
Oh, thank God. Poor thing.
She also had an incision on vertebra C3.
Which one is that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want to look.
Okay.
It was too awful. I just had to get over it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Goldman's body was lying close by between the fence and a tree. And investigators concluded that despite many stab wounds to the body and neck, he had comparatively few defensive wounds on his hands, suggesting a brief fight.
Well, and assuming it was OJ that did this, which I think we can all agree, OJ is a huge man.
Huge.
Ginormous. You're not going to be able to defend yourself very well against him. He's going to subdue you quickly.
No. And it was discussed, I don't think I touched on it, but that he was doing drugs.
Oh.
So... take that with what you will.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff is alleged, right? So, indicated.
Yeah. So if he's on drugs, he's a huge man and he's enraged. They're not going to be able to defend themselves. They are going to have very few defensive wounds. It makes sense.
Well, especially if he thought that this was a lover.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And previously he had said, Brown said that Simpson said to her, if I catch you with somebody else, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's so sad. I don't even know how to word this, but this sounds horrible. I wish that he would have gotten her carotid sooner. Like, she had to go through so much pain. Mm-hmm. That's so awful. So awful.
And I'm 95% positive her children were asleep in the house.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize how brutal this murder was.
Brutal. Like, so awful.
Yeah.
According to forensic evidence from the Los Angeles County Coroner, Goldman was choked and stabbed with one hand by the attacker.
Well, then, yeah, it was O.J. Simpson.
Like, you gotta be big and strong.
Yeah, and I'm sure as, like, a huge football player, too, I bet his hands were ginormous.
Yeah. A blue knit cap, an extra large Aeris Isotoner light leather glove on the left hand.
The famous glove.
The famous glove. And the envelope holding the spectacles that Goldman was returning were found close to his body. Detectives Tom Lang, Philip Vinatter, Ron Phillips, and Mark Fuhrman were assigned by LAPD Commander Keith Bushy to inform Simpson of Brown's death and to accompany him to the police station so that they could retrieve their children, who were asleep in Brown's condominium at the time of the murders.
Gosh.
After more than half an hour of buzzing Simpson's estate intercom, the police got no response. And he was apparently in Chicago. So I kind of just like glossed over this, but it was stated that he had taken a flight to Chicago and there were people like pilot and whatever that said, oh, he didn't have a cut on his hand because there was blood like leading away, right? And blood on the glove and all that kind of stuff. So there's just like a lot of back and forth and a lot of contradictions. And I'm not really sure what's true and what's not true. But
okay.
Apparently he was in Chicago. And that was kind of his.
Like when this happened?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I glossed over it. And I'm sorry about that, but I just I didn't believe him. So I don't believe he was where he said he was. So I didn't think it was important.
Okay.
Other than the fact that it was said he was in Chicago. Sorry.
That's okay. I just wonder, like I mean, if that's true, then he obviously couldn't have done it. So yeah. I wonder if.
But there's a ton of evidence to indicate he was nearby. So I.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, and I would assume that had the police found out that he was indeed in Chicago, they wouldn't have gone forward with a trial on him.
Yeah.
I would hope so anyway. I mean, I've seen crazier things.
So when they got to his house, though, his car was parked at a really odd angle with the rear end sticking out further than the front. And there was blood on the door.
Oh.
Raising the possibility that there was an injury in his house. So they thought maybe he was hurt.
Oh.
Right? Because they only went there to tell him that Brown had died.
Oh. And
about his children, right?
Okay.
So Vinatter gave Fuhrman the order to climb the wall and open the gate so the other three investigators could get inside. The investigators would contend that they broke in without a search warrant due to emergency situations, particularly because they were concerned that somebody was hurt. Because they could have, you know, thought, hey, she's dead. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was linked to him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's hurt. So,
well, and I wonder how much of that is true and how much of that was just the police excuse to get in there.
Yeah, true. But I mean, if they saw blood on the door.
Yeah. And I'm sure they knew. Like if she had called in the abuse and they worked in that local precinct, like I'm sure they knew. So I wonder if that was just like their excuse, like, oh, he could be hurt. We better go look.
After a brief conversation, Fuhrman learned from Kaylin that, who I'll talk about a little bit briefly later,
okay,
that Simpson owned the vehicle and that he had heard thumps on his wall earlier that evening. During an inspection of the area to see what might have caused the thumps, Fuhrman came upon a blood-stained right hand glove that turned out to be the matching pair of the left-hand glove that had been recovered next to Goldman's body. It was decided that there was sufficient evidence to issue a warrant for Simpson's arrest. According to Phillips' testimony, when he called Simpson in Chicago to inform him of Brown's murder, Simpson was very upset, but strangely indifferent to how she died.
What's up? He called him in Chicago?
Yeah.
To tell him that Nicole died?
Yeah.
So he was in Chicago?
Yeah. I think that he went to Chicago after.
Oh. How long after she died was he in Chicago?
I don't know, Ashley.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it just kind of like happened all at once. Like he probably like drove the car back to the house, got another vehicle, got like a ride to the airport, and then took the fuck off to Chicago.
Okay.
Why?
I just wish you had more information on Chicago.
Well, look it up. I don't know what to tell you. There was so much information. I didn't think like Chicago was that important. I don't know. I didn't think it was that important to the case.
Well, I mean, if he was in Chicago, he couldn't have done it.
I feel like if it was true that he was in Chicago, then it wouldn't have gone to trial.
Yeah, but you just said he was in Chicago because someone called him there.
Do you want me to put like air quotes around it? Like, I don't know if he was actually in Chicago. It could have been a lie. It could have been an alibi.
Okay.
Could have paid off some people to be like, yo, yeah, he went to Chicago. He wasn't bleeding.
Okay.
Because there was also something that I like briefly read, and it was that he was at a hotel and that he had asked for a Band-Aid for his cut finger. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's very sneaky, and I feel like it wouldn't have been a year-long trial if he was legitimately in Chicago at the time.
Yeah, that's true. Was. That's true. They would have just been like, hey, here's proof. He was in Chicago. Trial dismissed.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Good point.
Hence why I didn't focus too much on Chicago.
All right. I'll allow it.
It's called an alibi, Ashley.
I'll allow it.
Okay, hope so. So Phillips pointed out that Simpson didn't care whether the attackers had injured the children. Rather, he was just inquiring as to whether the kids had actually witnessed the murder of Brown.
Because he already knew that the attacker did not hurt the children.
Yeah. On June 13th, the police made contact with Simpson at his residence and brought him to Parker Center to be questioned. When Lang saw that Simpson had a cut on his left hand finger that matched the location of the murderer's bleeding, he questioned Simpson about how he got the cut. After learning of Brown's passing, Simpson initially stated that he had cut his finger unintentionally while in Chicago. After telling Simpson that blood had been discovered inside his vehicle, Lang went on to say that Simpson had cut his finger on June 12th, but could not recall how. See, this is where it's unraveling.
Yeah, because if you cut, I mean, that would have had to be a bad cut to leave noticeable blood on your door.
Yeah. But this is the thing. It's like he's already lying about how he got the cut.
Yeah.
And then now he's backtracking, being like, oh, I did get it on June 12th, but I don't remember how that happened. So.
Yeah, if you don't remember how, then you don't remember when.
Yeah. He was freed after willingly providing a sample of his own blood to be compared with the evidence gathered from the crime scene. And I'm kind of wondering that if he was on the type of drugs people said he was on, that you can get into a state of mind where you black out or you forget shit.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he was, like, I'm not making excuses, mm-hmm. playing devil's advocate here. Maybe he was in a blackout state,
mm-hmm.
and he really didn't remember what happened. Maybe it was like a TBI. He doesn't remember what happened, but he actually did it, you know?
Yeah. The only thing is, that would make me question that is then why did he flee to possibly Chicago? Possibly not. Or then like lie about it, you know?
Simpson's acquittal in October 1995 caused racial divisions across the country. The Black community in the nation believed that Simpson's victorious defense demonstrated the serious prejudice that permeated the U.S. legal system and had been instrumental in framing the former NFL player.
Wait, so what did the DNA blood test say?
I will tell you in a minute.
Oh, okay. I thought you were done.
You thought I was done?
Like with the trial part, because you just told us the end.
Everybody knows the end.
It's true.
Simpson had hardly talked about racism or his color in the U.S. before his trial.
Well, I don't disagree. The American judicial system is inherently racist, and it still is to this day. You know, there's more Black people incarcerated than white people. There's more minorities incarcerated than white people. More, it is. It's inherently racist. I mean, there's no questioning that. But I don't think that that was OJ's case.
No. The truth about Simpson's life back then was that he had access to almost every club, social group, and setting imaginable thanks to his talent, riches, and stardom. Despite all of this, and despite his acquittal in regards to this case, he was never fully able to regain any of his previous fame.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even if he had access to all that stuff, it doesn't mean that he didn't ever have to deal with racism, you know? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. His innocence and the truth of what actually transpired on June 12, 1995 remains a contentious issue. The trial itself had it all: a wealthy celebrity defendant, a Black man suspected of murdering his white ex-wife out of jealousy, a woman who was killed after divorcing a man who had abused her, a dream team of expensive and charming defense attorneys, and a grave mistake by the prosecution. Since the very beginning, Simpson deemed that he was not guilty and that there was no doubt about it. The prosecution contended that Simpson killed Nicole out of jealous rage and provided several blood, hair, and fiber tests that connected Simpson to the killings. So this is the DNA evidence. Simpson's DNA was found on blood drops next to the bloody footprints near the victims at the Bundy crime scene.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, there, he did it. The end. Done.
The prosecution stated that the probability of error was 1 in 9.7 billion. Simpson's DNA found on a trail of blood drops leading away from the victims towards and on the back gate at Bundy.
Oh my gosh.
The prosecution stated that the probability of error was 1 in 200.
Oh. That's kind of low.
Well, still not much of an error, so.
Yeah.
Simpson, Goldman, and Brown's DNA was found on blood on the outside of the door and inside Simpson's Bronco.
All three?
All three.
I cannot wait to hear how the defense talked that away.
The prosecution stated that the probability of error was 1 in 21 billion. Simpson's DNA found on blood drops leading from the area where his Bronco was parked at Simpson's Rockingham home to the front door entrance.
Did the dude just like open a vein and walk away with it? Like, what the hell?
Just blood drops.
They're everywhere.
I know.
There's just a trail.
I know. Simpson, Brown, and Goldman's DNA on a bloody glove found behind his home. Simpson and Brown's DNA found on blood on a pair of socks in Simpson's bedroom. The prosecution stated that the probability of error was 1 in 6.8 billion.
I like that better than 1 in 200.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And honestly, this whole case was basically just reasonable doubt. They put that little speck of doubt into everybody's heads, especially because of the fucking glove.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah. So despite all this shit, because they sprinkled a little bit of doubt in these people's heads, this man got off.
What did they say happened, or who did they give any like other plausible person, or did they just say like, hey, he couldn't do it because the glove doesn't fit. There's your doubt.
I talk about it at like the very end.
Okay.
But basically there's not a lot of other theories. It's the whole, you know, maybe he hired a hitman because it was something along the lines of Like, I didn't go into a lot of the other theories because I 100% think he did it.
Yeah. I know. I was just going to say, did he hire another hitman with the same blood as him? Like,
honestly, right? So it just doesn't make any sense. And, you know, the way that her throat was slit was kind of like, I think they were saying that it was the MO of like a gang or something. So I don't know. I think it was like drug related, but.
You guys can't see my face, but I'm making a face. but then what did the defense say that put doubt in the jury? You were saying that like they just sprinkled in a little doubt. What was that?
The fucking glove.
That's it?
The glove and the fact that they were saying that one of the detectives had taken evidence home with him or something. And so it was mishandled.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they were kind of saying that like maybe this was
whole thing was mishandled and
it's because he's black that they mishandled this and are trying to pin it on him. That this black man did this to this white woman. Wow. So there's some fiber DNA too.
Okay. Well, I was going to say like I mean that's happened before, you know, they try and pin it on the black man. That's not something that's never happened. But and with all of this evidence.
His defense team was so good.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember if it doesn't fit, you must acquit, you know?
And that's the problem, though. Like, his defense team was so good at this.
Yeah.
That, and they even picked their jury so perfectly. So, the jury was made mostly up of African Americans. Mm-hmm. And it shows because they did polls and African Americans mostly like had the higher percentage of like believing him and wanting to acquit him as opposed to Caucasian.
Well, and I wonder if that's because one, they didn't hear or know of all the evidence, like not the jurors, obviously, but like the population. And they're so used to just being fucked over by the police and the system and as a whole. And they're just like, yeah, here's another example of it. And, you know, not really following or knowing all the evidence, just being like, yeah, they're fucking us over again. Like, it makes sense that they would think that.
Yeah. Oh, it's insane. It's just insane to me because there's so much evidence pointing towards the fact that he did this.
Yeah.
And he still got off.
Mm-hmm.
It pisses me off.
Yeah, that's insane.
So LAPD criminalist and hair fiber expert Susan Brockbank testified on June 27th, 1995, and FBI special agent and fiber expert Doug Diedrich testified on June 29th, 1995, to the following findings. The fibers from the glove found at Simpson's home microscopically matched the one found at the crime scene, proving that they were each other's pair. Both of the victims, the two gloves, and the blue knit cap worn by the killer had hair consistent with Simpson. The hair in the blue knit cap worn by the killer was embedded in the seams of the hat, indicating that it was there from being worn repeatedly. Dark blue cotton clothing fibers were found on both victims. The video from the dance recital that Simpson attended earlier that night shows him wearing a similarly colored shirt.
Mm.
Cato Kalin testified that Simpson was still wearing that shirt when they got home from McDonald's. So instead of going to dinner with Brown and the family, him and Cato Kalin went to McDonald's.
Okay. Well,
and it was stated that they did some drugs while they did that.
Yeah. Okay.
But that he wasn't anymore when he answered the door to the limousine driver. The police searched his home, but the shirt was never found. So it's a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Hair consistent with Goldman was found on Brown, and clothing fibers consistent with Brown was found on Goldman. This supported the prosecution's theory that the assailant killed Brown first, then Goldman, and afterwards returned to Brown to cut her throat.
Ugh.
The hair consistent with Brown that was found on the Rockingham glove was torn, which also supports the prosecution's claim that the killer grabbed Brown by her hair to cut her throat. Fibers that were only used in the 1993 to 1994 model year Ford Bronco, the same car that Simpson owned, were found on both victims, knit cap, and on both gloves.
He didn't even try to hide what he was doing.
Yep. The glove found at Simpson's home that belonged to the murderer had hair and clothing fibers consistent with Simpson, Brown and Goldman, as well as fibers from a 1993 to 1994 Ford Bronco and Brown's Akita dog.
Oh my gosh.
So, the defense team claimed that the glove could not have been Simpson since it was too small for his hand when he tried it on in court.
Did you see him try that on?
No.
He had his fingers like spread. Like, does it fit?
Oh my God. No, I honestly, and I was thinking about this today, I don't like watching the videos.
Yeah.
And, you know, documentaries and live footage from these things because I want to just kind of, I feel like things that are like that are very, I don't really know the word, just they kind of make you see what they want you to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So, but I was also thinking about this, that if I was going to commit a crime against people I did not like, I would purposefully get something that did not fit.
Yeah. Yeah. But the only, and that's what I always said too. I was like, maybe he just got smaller gloves to do this murder. It doesn't, in no other way did he try and hide anything though. You know what I mean?
No.
So, but maybe he thought like everything else was fine. Cause they didn't have, I don't think it was widely known all the different things that they could test with back then. And maybe he just thought, oh, I just don't want my fingerprints. So I got to buy some gloves, you know? Maybe he didn't think about like everything else.
Last minute decision after McDonald's.
Yeah.
In addition to the glove, the defense argued that the police had planted other key evidence to incriminate Simpson, and one officer brought certain evidence home, like I indicated. So it was indicated that it was mishandled. Approximately 150 witnesses testified during the more than 8-month trial, but Simpson did not take the stand.
That's probably for the best. Whenever people take a stand, it always goes poorly.
Yeah. Even his frail 73-year-old mother got out of her wheelchair, limped to the witness stand, and told the jury that her son had rheumatoid arthritis from her and had rickets as a child, implying that he was too disabled to kill somebody. But he wasn't too disabled to play pro football.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he was phenomenal at football.
Yeah. It's not even like he was kind of good or like was not the best. No, he was like amazing.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But that's his mom. So I'm sure she doesn't believe he did it.
Absolutely. There were some alibis sprinkled in. But a lot of them were contradictory, and I honestly feel it was just those people trying to get their second of fame.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Or they had been paid.
Mm-hmm.
Further, the defense contended that racist white police had set up the famous defendant. All of America was focused on this case and didn't want to miss a single moment. So when he was acquitted, he waved and said thank you to the jury, which was predominantly made up of Black men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, based on the evidence presented to me in that case, in trial, and I thought that the prosecution in that case did put on a very weak case. I had no alternative but to rule for reasonable doubt, said juror Lionel Cryer.
I wonder if they still feel that way. I mean, they're probably dead now, but like, you know, years later, if they still feel that way.
I don't know. I would hope not.
And they might not be dead now if they were younger than OJ.
Yeah. The evidence of Brian Cato Kalin, which I said I'd get back to, was the last person to see Simpson before the murders, and he was living in a guest house on Simpson's estate, hence why he was there when the police showed up. Mm. And he was one of the prosecution's weakest points throughout the trial.
Oh, no.
In his testimony, Kalin painted himself as a naive Hollywood hopeful who called into question the prosecution's claim that Simpson lacked a plausible explanation for the time of the murders. The families of Goldman and Brown then filed a wrongful death claim against Simpson in civil court after the trial. Simpson was ordered to pay $33.5 million in damages.
Oh, God.
By a mostly white jury in Santa Monica, California in 1997 after they held him responsible for the two murders. Which is wonderful.
Yeah. I think he should have paid more, but.
Oh, how do you put a
Yeah.
I don't understand that. How do you put a price on somebody's life?
Yeah.
In order to partially cover his damages after the civil lawsuit, some of Simpson's possessions, including his football memorabilia, was removed from his home and put up for sale.
Good. Sucks to suck.
He also wrote a book.
Yes, this is insane.
In the mid-2000s, titled, If I Did It, Confession of a Killer.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. He just needed money.
It was basically a novel describing what would have happened if OJ was the one that actually committed the crimes. That's and
disgusting.
It was basically just like a confession people said.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. The release was canceled, but unfortunately 400,000 copies had been printed. Mm. And thankfully, the proceeds of these books were given to the Goldman family.
Oh, as good.
We're still owed money from the civil suit.
Good.
So the fucker still got screwed, which I love.
Yes. Yes.
In September of the same year, almost 12 years after his acquittal, Simpson was arrested for allegedly leading a gang of men, some of whom were armed, into a hotel room in Vegas and held two men at gunpoint while robbing them of mementos valued at thousands of dollars that Simpson claimed to be his. Beforehand, he reportedly told Tom Riccio, one of the men involved, this is not memorabilia. These are personal artifacts that were stolen from me.
Wow.
He said, everyone thinks nothing bad happens to me. Here I am being robbed. Why don't we show the world that I have to go by myself to get my stuff back?
Poor, poor OJ.
Honestly.
Nothing bad ever happens to me. Woe is me. Poor guy.
My stuff was stolen from me because I had to pay back a civil suit.
poor guy. Ugh. Yeah. How? God gives his strongest soldiers the hardest tasks. That's not how the saying goes, but it's something like that.
It's something like that. And it's also like, you're never given more than what you can handle.
Yeah.
During Simpson's trial, memorabilia dealer Bruce Fromong testified that he arranged a meeting with a friend of the notorious star, whom he believed to be a bona fide customer. Rather, Simpson arrived at the meeting accompanied by some other guys, all of whom were armed. Simpson was heard yelling in recordings of the theft made later, you think you can steal my shit? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. It was court ordered. Yeah. Wasn't stolen. It was just taken.
One of the other men, Michael McClinton, later revealed how Simpson became intoxicated in the hours following the heist and cautioned the other men not to disclose that guns were involved.
cautioned, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it was gentle.
Simpson said, I didn't want to hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. Yet you told people to not say anything.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
And you stormed a hotel room with guns. You didn't think you were doing anything wrong?
Right.
That's not how society works there, buddy.
Nope. On the 13th anniversary of his acquittal, justice, Simpson was found guilty on 10 charges of armed robbery, kidnapping, and conspiracy the following year by a jury.
Nice.
He received a 33-year prison sentence.
Nice.
Which the public perceived as karma.
Mm-hmm.
The verdict was upheld against his team's appeals, and for his crimes, he was imprisoned in Nevada for 9 years.
That's it?
That's it.
He got 33 years.
I know.
What the hell?
In 2017, he relocated into a gated neighborhood in Las Vegas after being granted parole. Then in 2021, he received an early parole release for his good behavior. Other theories about the murders have been proposed, connections between them and the drug trade in Los Angeles, as well as the deaths of Brett Cantor and Michael Nigg. So they kind of were thinking maybe it was linked to those crimes as well.
No. Nope, it was OJ.
The 2012 documentary, My Brother, the Serial Killer, claimed that convicted murderer Glenn Edward Rogers had confessed to the killings and stated that Simpson hired him to carry them out.
Then how did all of Simpson's blood get there?
Right. Maybe he went to go make sure.
And cut himself somehow?
I don't know. Maybe he got a paper cut on the envelope.
Who knows? Man opened a vein and walked around with it. Like, it was dripping everywhere.
Oh, I wish it was more. The families of Brown and Goldman denied the allegations and charged Investigation Discovery's Henry Schlieff with being careless. In response, he stated that he thought Simpson was guilty and that Rogers was not the target of the documentary. And as of 2 days ago, O.J. Simpson died after a battle with prostate cancer.
Couldn't have happened to a better person.
I know.
That came off wrong. I was trying to be sarcastic again and say, like, oh, he was a nice person. Like, too bad that that happened to him. That's what I was trying to say.
Absolutely. Totally got it. So that is my story on O.J. Simpson.
That is fascinating.
It made me so angry.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, the only thing I can think of, too, is that those jurors were probably under so much pressure from their communities.
4 hours for them to reach a decision.
Yeah, they were probably under so much pressure from their communities and, like, probably so disillusioned with the judicial system. That, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
I just kind of, like, wish that the Kardashians knew and would just come out and fucking tell us. Now,
like, on their deathbed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on, just tell us. Did he actually do it?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point now? He's dead. Just tell us what happened.
Yeah. They probably don't. They were little, but maybe mom knows.
Was their dad dead?
Yeah, their dad's dead.
Oh, well, shit.
Yeah, he died. He died a long time ago, I think.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Let me see. Rob Kardashian Sr. He died in
2003. Oh. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what he died of, but... Oh, illness. Esophageal cancer.
Oh, shit.
He died 2 months after being diagnosed with it. Holy crap. That's sad.
Wow. That is really sad.
His daughters lucked out. They must have gotten all their looks from...
From Cam? No, Cam. What's her face? Her name? I don't know. It's not Carrie, is it?
Fucking, what's her name? Chris. Chris.
I'm like, there's Cam, Chloe. Chris. What's her face?
Yeah, because I don't know if you can see his picture. Kinda.
He's not bad looking.
Yeah, he's not awful, but... Anywho, thanks for that story. That was super fascinating.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I didn't have more information about Chicago.
No, I'm over it. I think you're right. It was a lie. I just got hung up on it because you said someone called him there. And then I realized that someone was like a friend of his. So he was probably just lying for him.
Well, no, I think it was like a cop that called him.
In Chicago.
Like they called his phone.
Oh, and he said he was in Chicago.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think they had cell phones then, right? No?
80s?
I honestly think that if he did actually go to Chicago, he committed the crimes, hopped on a fucking plane, and then went.
Yeah.
And then he was in Chicago, and then just paid people off to say that he was there at different times.
Well, and back then,
it was so easy.
Travel was the wild, wild west. Like,
yeah, exactly. Anything.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I have jokes.
I was just saying, do you have any dad jokes for us? I had one and then I forgot it.
Okay. If life gives you lemons, sweet, free lemons.
Truth.
If a king farts, is it a noble gas?
This is stupid.
How do you catch a unique tiger?
I don't know how.
Unique up on it.
I like that one. That one's good. I like that one a lot.
We call our printer Bob Marley. It's always jamming.
That's stupid. I like the tiger one. That's the best one.
There you go.
I love it. If you want more of us, lovely ladies, you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Patreon, which we never plug. We got to remember to plug our Patreon.
And yeah, YouTube. We're fun over there.
Yeah, we're real fun.
And if you would like to rate and review us, you can do so on Spotify and Apple Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in. And we will actually bring you two because I promise I will get you a story next week.
Bye. Bye.